Mr. Vorstius, Reel 9. We were talking about when you had to go to action stations on these patrols. What was the signal to let you know to go?
Signal was bugle, like the bugler, sounded off action stations. And if it was urgent, you know, that they'd seen something urgent, there were 3 G's with it. 3 G's. 1, 2, 3, like that, long G's. And you know you had to nip fast. But when there was really a submarine knocking around, all we had to do was to get on deck and keep your eyes open for the periscope. That was all we could do, you see. And unless torpedoes came towards you, see, then you knew it. Well, I haven't told you about the first one, have I?
And you mentioned Skagerrak, there was some torpedoes.
Yes.
Do you want to tell me in more detail? Because you only touched on it last time. What exactly happened that time?
Well, we was on patrol on between Denmark and Norway, known as the Skagerrak. And somewhere about 4 o'clock exactly, 4 o'clock, that's right, 4 o'clock, we'd 5 to 4, we'd mustered on deck, ready to go, taking our place on the next 2 hours' watch. See, that was the dog watch, the first dog watch. And at 5 to 4, was all mustered and dismissed. I was on the way up to the top of the turret, where we had the gun attached to the one inside. We used it if we wanted it to fire, or it was loose for firing at us, and as I say, as a submarine, which it was. No sooner as I got to the top, the hooter went. And the piper said, submarine stations. And
you say a hooter went, not the bugle.
No, well, like a bugle, you see, but a hooter on by the pressed by the button pressed by the captain for urgency. As I say, I just got on deck on top of the turret, and I looked over there. We could see the one torpedo coming towards us, and it went right under the ship. And the next one came along, and a fella said to me, "This is it, Bill." And it went off its course. We were saved. And a signal was made to Commander-in-Chief. And from then onwards, there was always a couple of destroyers was sent over there to tackle them, because we wasn't no speed with our ship, you see, but a destroyer that could pick up speed for about 30 miles an hour, 30 knots an hour, I see.
When was this incident? Do you remember what month? Was this in
1940? Yes, the first September. I can't exactly the day. But the first week in September. The first week in September. And we'd been on patrol for quite a long while, you see. And we came out on our second patrol. We'd been on one just before the war started. Just as the war started, that's right, the war started, we went on our first patrol for 1 week. And we came back to coal ship because we hadn't coaled properly at Scapa Flow when we arrived from Weymouth. head rate.
Was this coaling ship, was it the same as you described with the Berwick?
Yes.
It was the same procedure?
Yes. Yes. Filling up bags and lifted up by a crane onto the ship. 200 weight bags. There was 200 weight.
Always. So you had a crane on the.
Well, we didn't use if they a coaling ship with a colliery ship.
Yeah.
You see, they would lift it up and drop it onto there because they had big. They had these cranes, these coal ships that carry coal had big long masts the cranes to put the coal on the deck.
So that made it easier, did it?
Oh, it made it easier, yes, because as soon as you filled up a crane, there was what was known as a strop. He rove it through the two handles of the coal, hook it onto it, and away it was, and then down again, and carry on like that. And
you still had to fill the bags?
Still had to fill the bag, yes.
But then it was lifted.
Two would hold the bag, and two would shovel it up. Because it was very, if you started to start digging into it, it was taking a long time. But when you got, like there it is piled there, when you got here, all you had to do was keep on down there, that's when it was easy. But otherwise, coal ship was terrible, really.
Did you envy the oil-fired ships? Because there were some oil-fired ships coming into the line then.
I was never in an oil ship until I went to submarines.
Was there envy?
The last ship that carried coal was HMS Benbow, a battleship.
Did you used to envy the oil-fired ships?
Yes, we did. I mean, when we... Now, there was, I'll tell you this much, there was 20 destroyers, or rather, 15 destroyers, 20th, known as the 20th Division, and they was all oil. And believe me or not, well, we've heard them grumbling, having to put the hoses on board ship, go ashore and get the destroyer is tied up alongside. They pass them and blooming oil boat thing and all that, you know. But they never knew what coal was when I saw them. But apart from that, the coal nearly air, there was somewhere, I should say, there wasn't 100 with oil. But after they, about the second or third year, nearly all ships was oil, but the old engine was still coal.
Now, during these first couple of months of the war, when you went out on your first couple of patrols, were you expecting there to be a big battle with the Germans?
No, because they was in touch with the Admiralty, and all ships were in touch with the Admiralty and other places. And should the fleet come out, it would be known in very shortly, you see.
But did you think they would come out? Were you expecting them to
come out? Well, we weren't going to say, well, they won't come out, they're afraid of us. They did come out on two or three occasions and bombarded the northeast coast at...
Hartlepool.
Hartlepool and all that. Yes, but afterwards, that was another case, you see, with our slowness. We were somewhere over towards Calera, and this happened in early morning, the bombardment, or rather overnight, and in the morning we was told to go and catch them. But the blooming things had gone back to bed again, they had, when we got there. We would never have caught them if it was oil. But with coal, we couldn't get more speed than just about 20 miles an hour.
Would you rather have been in one of the big battleships or a destroyer or a battle cruiser?
No, I was quite happy in the because we carried on the same week after week.
Can you tell me what that routine was then? I mean, I don't mean the daily routine. I think we've covered that. What was the routine of work on the Antrim? What would you do from day to day?
Keep the ship clean, and then you would. Early morning, you'd just scrub the decks and all that.
Would you bother with all the bright work that you bothered with?
Same as peacetime, yes. And then somewhere about 11 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you'd all go to your stations for action stations, which was like, not all of them. It was in three, red, white and blue, you see, three watches. The red would be on about 8 o'clock till 12. Then blue be on from 12 till 4. And then the two dog watches were separated again so that it would change for the next night. Those going on at 8 o'clock previous night.
Were there three watches or four? Because I thought you said there were four watches.
We was in four watches, but there was always we was in four watches, and there'd be three watches, and there was a spare one, there's a fourth one, would take a night and relieve one of the other four. So they have a good night's sleep, you see, because there'd be the one up from 8 o'clock in the evening till 12, then from 12 till 4, and then from 4 till 8. You see, well, you didn't get much sleep, and the one that was the fourth one would come out with the 8 o'clock at night, you see. And then so the one of them would have a spell. There was always that. And
so that was what they did on a daily basis. How did it go from day to day? What would the Antrim be doing over that period? How long were you in port? How long at Scapa? How long were you on patrol?
Well, we'd be on patrol for roughly 7 days to about 10. 7 days to 10.
And would you always go to the Skagerrak area, or what would you do?
Scapa Flow. As soon as you've done a certain time, you'd go back again to Scapa Flow coal.
Where would you be sweeping? Where would you be patrolling? Always in the Skagerrak?
All anywhere. Where they ever sent you? We didn't say, well, we were going over to Norway there for a patrol. I didn't know that. We'd be sent to a different one each year. Now then, we'll get to a little bit more.
How long would it be when you got back to Scapa before you were sent on the next patrol?
Somewhere about 5 days.
Now, what would you do while you were in Scapa?
Well, your coal ship, your provision ship.
Well, what did that mean? What did that involve you?
Yes, everybody.
What was provisioning ship then? I know what it means. Could you explain how you did it?
Well, the commander would give his order when we arrived in, and that would go to the fella in charge of all the food on shore at Scapa Flow, and they would load up the ship with it and bring it along back to over for us, you see. And then she would come alongside, and she would come alongside, and we'd crane and lower it, hoist it up out of the way, and fill up with our food and all that. Like rice, peas, beans and things like that, all in bags, great big bags, not paper bags, in canvas bags, you see. That was the next job after coaling, you see. And that happened every time we came back again from a patrol.
And then what would happen?
If you were fortunate, you'd get a store to go to a canteen. They had a canteen.
How often would that happen?
Well, if everything had been done, like the coal ship had been done and the provisions in, then you'd go somewhere about 4 o'clock till 6 o'clock. Being I was a teetotaler, it didn't interest me at all, you see. I never went ashore at all.
You didn't ever visit the canteen at Scapa?
No.
Did you go ashore for a walk or just to stretch your legs?
When we knew we was going to be in for a long time, because there was times when you knew you wouldn't be going out for a week, you see, then it's time to have a walk. I used to have a walk around Kirkwall, you see.
That's a little town.
A little town, yes.
What did they offer you? Nothing.
I didn't give them offer anything. Just simply an ordinary little seaside town.
Would you spend what little money you had in the shops?
Oh, yes, you would spend if the boozers would have beer, and I would buy sweets, and that's it.
You had a sweet tooth then?
Oh, yes, I've had a sweet tooth all my life.
What sort of sweets would you eat then?
Well, mostly toffees. No, chocolates were no good because they went so quick, you see. Toffees, I used to buy a lot of toffees that I sucking for a long time. Or acid tablets, acid sweets, you know.
Drops, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now then.
Were the people at the town, the small town, were they friendly? I mean, did they treat you well?
Oh, yes, they was. It was friendly.
There was no trouble between the boozers
no,
and them?
No. Oh, well, they didn't. They weren't allowed to because the patrol. Now, the patrol didn't belong to the ships. They was from the barracks, and they were sent there, and they did work hard too. They was on every 4 hours now there they'd be on, and they're 4 hours off, then back again on, all day and all night, so as not to let anybody start getting the troops and inquiring about where they were.
Did you ever have any? I mean, you wouldn't be a troublemaker, but were these sort of naval police? Were they officious or in any way, or were they fair?
They
How did they behave? Did they harass
anyway,
you?
Anyway, they would just say, "Don't hang around," or you know, or when it if there was a signal made for everybody to go back to the ship, they would tell it. They would tell it. You see, like the ships. Now,
were there any amusements organised ashore for the sailors? Football matches?
Football match, yes. That's all. Cricket, like cricket wasn't anything to do in the Navy as much as what football was, and rugby.
Would that be for the ordinary sailors to play? Or were they
ordinary sailors, yeah.
Or would that be the...
Officers played with it as well. Officers played as well.
There'd be a lot of games on. It wouldn't be sort of the Antrim versus the Black Prince or whatever. It would be a lot of different games on mess decks versus mess decks.
On mess decks, yes. But then the football, nearly always Antrim versus Argyle. That was our sister ship, or the Roxburgh or the Devonshire.
But that wouldn't give many of you an opportunity to play football.
No,
I mean, 11 out of 600 or 700.
Yeah. Well, I never play because I wouldn't... I was a good runner and all that, but they picked up people who could kick a ball. Not
was there any cross country running organised or any running?
Later on, after about the first year I was up there, they organised.
I'll come to that then. Yeah. Then yeah. So your life was sort of 5, 6, 7 days out patrolling,
yeah.
Then 5 or 6 days, 7 days back in port, and then back out patrolling.
It wasn't always that. It was like you'd be perhaps They were very north of Scapa?
Sorry?
Norway. You'd be well in the north for a patrol. It was very seldom we got it, but we had been in.
Up towards Iceland and...
Up to Iceland, you see.
And that would take longer.
That would take longer. And then perhaps we would go only to Iceland itself and round there, because the Germans really wanted the Iceland. At any rate, they didn't get it. But at any rate, that's where we used to go to Iceland. Then come back again and coal ship for Scapa, and then perhaps our next one would be over to Denmark. You never knew when you went to the same one. You never went to the same places as that.
Did you think the war would be over quickly?
We did. Quite, it'll be over. It'll be over this time next week or next year, especially. Next year, yes. Especially if the troops on France had won a battle, you see, and advanced at all, get the news. Now, we never had papers, no daily papers, but the wireless used to be printed from on the way down to London. There's a lot of masts, big masts up. Well, they used to, all them masts used to give out the news to the Navy in the First World War. And we get that and read it and, oh yes, by God, they're advancing. Oh, it'll be over in a couple of weeks' time.
Were you surprised the Grand Fleet hadn't been in a big battle then? I mean, this is what we were talking about earlier, but you thought the Army would win it, not the Navy, did you?
Yes, we did. Because the Germans never came out, but when they did come out of Jutland, they gave us a good walloping.
I'll come to that, because that's 1916.
Yeah, so, 1916, yeah, that's.
So how long did this routine go on for, of in and out, before things started to change? Patrolling, in Scapa?
Carried on every week, month after month. And all right until I left the Antrim.
Which was May 17?
Yes.
So throughout that period, the routine didn't change much?
No, it didn't change
much. Were you always at Scapa?
Rosyth.
You went to Rosyth?
Rosyth.
When did you switch base?
After the... After Jutland, we went to Scapa. We went to Rosyth.
So, are there any incidents you can remember during 1914? You've mentioned a couple of things, a torpedo attack in early September, and you've mentioned the Hartlepool raid, you know, the North East raid.
Yes.
Are there any other stories from that time you could tell us?
Yes. Our sister ship was sunk. She didn't belong in our squadron. HMS Kitchener were killed on it.
Hampshire.
She was our sister ship.
Yeah.
I don't want to make a mess of it. We was in harbour when she'd gone out that night and was torpedoed right away, because as soon as she was torpedoed, we heard about it.
How did you hear?
Because Kitchener was on board, you see.
What? How did it?
Wireless, you see. And then it was piped on board the ship, which it was very seldom they tell you what ship had gone down. But being as Kitchener was on board, it seemed that they made the big noise about it, you see. We went on patrol a couple of nights afterwards, and after six days, we came back again. The bodies were still being washed ashore, and I was like a funeral party, four or five times in a week, different ones being found.
What would happen at a funeral party? What was the routine?
Nothing happened. Just happened to have the prayer, and when they lowered it, there'd be the three shots would be fired slowly. You see.
And you'd fire those shots?
Well, I didn't. The Royal Marines nearly did, always did that. Then it was continually picking up the bodies, gradually getting washed ashore and being, what name. I went somewhere about, I suppose about five funerals.
Did it make an impact on you, Kitchener having been killed?
Well, really, truly speaking, no, we didn't, because we was, most of them said, well, why the hell was he doing here? Why wasn't he in France? You see? Oh, because we didn't know what he was there for. He was going to go somewhere on the Hampshire when she was torpedoed.
Now, that was in 1916.
Yes.
Had there been no real incidents of note between 1914 and then?
No, just... It was just... It was 1916, and there had been other ships torpedoed, and some had managed to get in, back to, like, into the Scapa Flow, and others hadn't.
But while you'd been patrolling, there'd been no incidents of note in 1915,
for instance? No.
When ships were torpedoed, were you ever nervous when you were on patrol and you were aware German submarines were about? Were you ever nervous? I mean, you were under the waterline, and how did you feel about that?
We used to feel, oh God, we'll have to look out for it and keep a good lookout for any German sub and all that sort of thing. But we didn't say, oh, we're good. When we go, oh, I don't know what we'll do. We didn't know what to do if we were being torpedoed, because you never know whether you'll be going down with the ship or whether you'll be managed to get into a boat right away.
For instance, when you were asleep, you know, did it affect your sleep when you were off duty?
Oh, no.
You wouldn't lie awake worrying?
No. Oh, no, never. There's never no any good at all. We get in the hammock and then go to sleep. And because one or two times you'd hear noises and it would wake you up like on the decks, up decks there. But otherwise, no, never worried. It was no good worrying at all, because nothing could have been done. It's all of, yeah.
Did you have an emergency drill that you practiced for, in case you were torpedoed and you had to get out quickly?
Well, we've been doing that sort of drill every so often until we knew, like, absolutely knew everything. Exactly where to go, what to do, you see. Everything was working all right. And as I think I've said before, that the poor old Antrim there, we jogged along and couldn't get any speed at all that like we wanted it. And then I did leave her.
Well, did you get any leave while you were on the Antrim during this period?
Oh, yes. Especially when you would go to refit.
What would happen then?
Well, the bottom, you go in dock and the dockyard would see to that. You wouldn't do anything, really, see? And all the guns would be tested, see that everything was still all right and working in the gun, and then they would have a look through, and goes around, which sends the
Twisting. The shell, yeah.
Shell. And Oh, no, we just simply went in dockyard, because you would work and paint ship, but not the dockyard would do the bottom, you see. The dockyard would do the bottom with a special paint for keeping the hull from rotting. And, well, you did keep the ship clean, and also you did painting.
And some of you would be sent on leave, would you?
Yes, in dockyard, yes.
And what would you do when you went on leave?
Well, I forget exactly, but I used to go around and see some of my old pals, school kids, the school boys. But, my sisters were working. I'd go and meet them and all that. When I had my uniform, because no civvies, I never had any civvy clothes.
How did people react?